This morning's scripture is from the New Testament, from the book of Matthew. And this morning I'm reading from the Life Application Study Bible, verses 31 through 33 and 44 through 52. The scripture reads as follows. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in a field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of garden plants. It grows into a tree, and birds come and make nests in its branches. Jesus also used this illustration. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast, the yeast a woman used in making bread. Even though she only put a little yeast in three measures of flour, it permeated every part of the dough. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. When he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a fishing net that was thrown into the water and caught fish of every kind. When the net was full, they dragged it up onto the shore, sat down, and sorted the good fish into crates, but threw the bad ones away. This is the way it will be at the end of the world. The angels will come and separate the wicked people from the righteous, throwing the wicked into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Do you understand all these things? Yes, they said, we do. And then he added, every teacher of religious law who becomes a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like a homeowner who brings from his storeroom new gems of truth as well as old. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I love this. He says, have you understood all this? And they say, oh yeah, we got it. Really? We're still trying to figure it out 2,000 years later. So this question about how we imagine heaven is not by any means original with me. This is the kind of thing, one of the kinds of things that people have been wondering about philosophically, theologically, existentially, for as long as people have been thinking. What happens after we die? Because we see people living their lives. We see them up to the point when they expire. And then what happens? How do we know? And how do we imagine? And so we have all these visions of what heaven is like, and search the scriptures for what heaven is like. And thought processes get developed in various faith systems and non-faith systems and philosophical ideologies. And what is it like after we die? What happens to us? And do we get sorted between those who have lived well and those who have not? And what happens if you're on the left side? And what happens if you're on the right side? What happens if you're a sheep? What happens if you're a goat? We wonder about these things. And they were clearly wondering about this in the time of Jesus, because he has these whole series of parables. We're still in Matthew 13. We're still doing parables. And he has this series of parables that all begin with the words, the kingdom of heaven is like this or that or the other. The kingdom of heaven is like this. And he proceeds to give us several examples which are surprisingly mundane. He doesn't talk about clouds, angels, bright light, halos, God on a golden throne. He doesn't even talk about the heavenly banquet. Not here, at least. You know, elsewhere he says, I'm not going to eat with you again until So I hold that promise that there's going to be food in heaven. There is going to be a heavenly banquet, but he doesn't even mention that here. So we may think about things like the beach at sunset, you know, the setting sun and the golden and red light is reflecting off the waves and the, you know, the sand and the seashells and all that. That might be a vision of heaven for many people, for some of us, and the vision of heaven as being up on a mountaintop. And I have had dreams about flying, but I tell you, I want to run in heaven. I want to run on those mountaintops and not get struck by lightning or hit by thunder. That's what I want to do in heaven. And we might think about the kind of music we hear. Nobody said harps, but often that's a vision of heaven. And maybe you don't particularly like harp music. Maybe your vision of heaven is jazz or classical or something else. When we were driving up to the Crest yesterday, my son Hugh, very good taste, very intelligent young man, picked the music for us. And he picked one of his favorite compositions that I had never heard, and it was magnificent. And that was what we listened to most of the trip up the mountain, is that one long composition. And it was wonderful. It was heavenly. It really was. We often mention that we are going to have a great reunion. We are going to be reunited with our family that has gone before, our friends that have gone before. Especially in these days, it seems like we've had an awful lot of deaths in the last, certainly in the last few years, and even in the last few months. And so we imagine those reunions, and especially with people that we never had a chance to properly say goodbye. And we want to have that that reunion, that closure, or that comfort. We look forward to that. And I know that people within the sound of my voice are looking forward to seeing our departed four-legged friends as well. All dogs go to heaven, and you know, we can name the dogs that we know are there playing with each other and others, and so we expect to see them again as well. In short, we imagine heaven as being the perfect place. And that makes it difficult because my perfect place is not the same as your perfect place. It's not the same as Dick's perfect place. It's not the same as anybody else's perfect place. So how can it be? How can it be that? And is it a place? Where is heaven? What is heaven? I'm using heaven as equivalent to kingdom of God, and if you're good with that, then we're fine. To me, that is true. Kingdom of God is heaven. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we're praying for heaven to come to earth every time we say the Lord's Prayer. And with all of these images, scriptural images, traditional images of heaven, Jesus doesn't use any of that. If we go literally down the list in Matthew 13 here, where he says the kingdom of heaven is like, we have a plant, a mustard seed, and the plant that goes from it. We have baking bread. Now, the smell of baking bread is definitely a heavenly scent, but he's talking about the yeast and how a little bit of yeast permeates the whole dough, and this is how bread works. This is a very common, mundane image. We have treasure. Okay, now we're getting to it. Treasure. We have lots of treasure, but this treasure is buried in a field. So how is that like heaven? And we have a pearl. Okay, well, that's treasure too. You know, this is an exquisite pearl. This is a magnificent pearl. This is a pearl of great price. So that kind of suits pearly gates and you know, golden streets and all that. And We have fish. This would have been a very common image, just like the agricultural images that Jesus uses in so many of his parables. These are fishermen. A lot of these people are fishermen. They live on fish. They live by fishing. And they fish using nets. They didn't do bait and poles. They certainly didn't do fly fishing. But they would drop their nets and they would pull up the fish on a good day and not on a not good day. And some of the fish they would not want to keep for whatever reason. There was some catch and release going on there. But very, very common, ordinary images. So maybe heaven isn't as completely different from earth as we think. Maybe there's a little bit more crossover. Maybe the boundaries are a little bit blurred. And that also is consistent with our scripture and our theology. Hebrews says that we hope for what we expect, that faith is the assurance of things hoped for. And how can we hope for anything if we can't imagine it? And how can we imagine it if we've never seen anything like it? So when we're imagining heaven, we tend to imagine the best things that we have experienced. And that might be the beach sunset. It might be the mountaintop hike. It might be a Christmas Eve worship service. It might be time spent with family and friends around the banquet table. That's one of the most important things about heaven, not just what we see, but who we see, who we're with, who are we going to see in heaven? And the one thing that makes heaven heaven is that it is the kingdom of God. God is there. God is with us. We are with God. That's what makes it heaven. It's the kingdom of God. We may have been strangers in a far land, and when we come home to our heavenly parent, that's heaven. That's where we belong. That's what we're made to be. So maybe if we look back at these parables, this little series of parables here, we can say that the kingdom of God is like hospitality. Because this little tiny mustard seed, which we can hardly see, grows into a plant that is big enough to be a shelter for small animals, for birds. So there's hospitality here. This is shelter. This is safety. This is not just about a mustard seed. This is not just about a plant. It's certainly not about arguing whether the mustard seed is really the smallest of plants and whether it grows into a bush or a tree or whatever. It's about what it does, what it provides. It means hospitality and welcome. Maybe the yeast doesn't so much represent the wonderful smell of bread baking, which is a good thing and also part of hospitality. But the fact that you get a little bit of something right and it flavors the whole environment. Just in the same way as you light a candle and it can light an entire room. Just a little candle can light a dark room. So maybe it's that pervasive through and through depth of what a good thing can do. The treasure is also a story of joy. This man discovered this treasure, and so he went out and he sold everything he had. We've heard this from Jesus too. You want to find the kingdom of God, you sell what you have and give it away. And then you will have the treasure that is worth more than all you have. Same thing with the pearl. Pearl of great value, worth everything, sacrificed all. The finder said, I must have that pearl. That pearl is worth more than everything else. Is heaven our true joy? Is heaven our true goal? Are we willing to give up everything else for that? And the fish. Fish are kind of different. He threw out the net and he caught fish of every kind, a full net, fish of every kind. Maybe you're not a fan of fish. Maybe that's going to be not going to be part of your heavenly banquet. But maybe these fish are more about the fact that they are abundant and they are diverse. And there may be some that need to be separated out. But again, according to Jesus, that's not our job. It's like the wheat and the tares. He tells his workers in that parable, do you just let the wheat and the weeds grow together, and my harvesters, the angels, will come and separate it out? And he says the same thing here. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous. The righteous are those who will be left in heaven. And then he says, have you understood all of this? And they say, oh yes, we've got it. Which I don't believe. And I know a lot of other people don't believe it. But sometimes the disciples said things like that to Jesus because that was the expected answer, they thought. And then he closes with everyone who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven. How can we be trained for the kingdom of heaven if we've never seen it? Because we have seen it. We have seen glimpses of it. We see glimpses of it when we have these heavenly experiences on earth, when we're sitting around the Thanksgiving table with our families, when we're looking at the glory of creation, when we're experiencing the love of God. There's a saying in theological circles that the kingdom of heaven is in breaking. It's not just something that's up there. It's not something that's away out there. It's not something that hasn't been created yet. It's not something that's far from us. It's something that is with us in bits and pieces. It's in breaking into our reality. We see glimpses of it. It's something that is already here and that is not yet complete. Heaven is already and not yet with us. And we pray for it every time we say the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day what we need. Forgive us and care for us and lead us so that we too will be part of the kingdom of heaven whenever and however that time comes for us. Thanks be to God. Amen.